I believe in God the Father Almighty. Millions confess the great creeds of the Church each week. But why? Learn more about Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in The Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We were talking last week with Pastor Tom Baker about the big event, one of the big events in the prophet Elijah's life, the famous encounter between the single prophet Elijah and the nearly 800 prophets of Baal and the other false gods that the people of Israel were worshiping at the time. The encounter did not turn out well for Baal or for his false prophets. And Elijah, well, he is not done yet. We're told that he is to go here and there and to anoint various people and to name a successor for himself, Elisha. And his manner of exit from both this life, it appears, this world into the next, is altogether unique. We don't know much about that Old Testament patriarch Enoch. It said he walked with God and was no more. We don't know what became of him, that he simply did not die. But we have a detailed account of the prophet Elijah's exit from this world. It is spectacular. And it is there not only for Elisha's benefit, who, because he sees him leaving, receives a double portion of Elijah's prophetic spirit, but also for our benefit as well. We're going to talk about Elijah taken into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Do we know why Elijah gets this unique way of leaving the world as far as we know, where he is taken bodily into heaven and we assume does not pass through death but is translated into the world to come?
Rather than speculate on this, as a pastor, I need to have a Bible verse. And I really don't have a Bible verse so much for Elijah, but if you ask most congregational members who was the individual taken to heaven in the Old Testament prior to his death, almost everyone will say Elijah, and they often will forget about Enoch. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It's only when we get to the New Testament that we find a reason why Enoch was taken. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Say, same way as Elijah. And he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, it doesn't give any details as to how God was pleased with Enoch, but we certainly can understand that that's the reason he took him. And similarly, God would have been pleased with the work of Elijah. Now, having said that, people might wonder, well, is he not pleased with all Christians who have faith in Jesus Christ? How come we have not ascended to heaven? And the answer we're going to show throughout this lesson is, from God's point of view, we also have been raised, gone to heaven, and we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. That's found in Ephesians 2, verse 6. It's also found in Colossians 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So there is an ascension that will take place after death when judgment day comes and the body rejoins with the spirit. But there's also this spiritual ascension where even at this time, Christians have been taken to be with Jesus at the right hand of God. And taking a look at Ephesians 2, we see we also have already ascended. But as to the specific pleasure that God had in Enoch and Elijah, the Bible does not clarify that.
So let's talk about the story. It's actually more involved than simply all of a sudden Elijah's taken up into heaven. It's coupled together. It's told from Elisha's servant's standpoint. It's coupled together with the passing of the mantle, literally and spiritually, from the prophet Elijah to the prophet Elisha. Tell us the story.
Yes, the growing in Christ talks about the passing of the baton or the mantle. Remember in an Olympic race, when you have four runners on the same team, they'll go around, and what happens, they can't start running until they receive the baton from the previous runner. And that passing of the baton occurred near the Jordan River. And that is quite significant when one remembers that there are, in a sense, three passing of batons. The first one, of course, at the Jordan was from Moses to Joshua. The second is the one we're reading today, Elijah to Elisha, who is going to be taking over from Elijah. And then where's the third one? Well, who was baptizing at the Jordan? And who came there to be inaugurated, to be baptized? That's John the Baptizer, and he was passing the baton to Jesus. Behold, the Son of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. Well, one could add another passing of the baton, and that is in baptism, where water is also used. Jesus passed the baton from himself to us who trust in the promises of the gospel. The only difference between the passing of the baton between like Enoch and Elijah and Jesus is Enoch and Elijah, though they did not die, they did not sacrifice themselves for the sins of the world. Neither one of them rose from the dead. And of course, they did not take any believers with them, as did Jesus. So there is a significant difference between Enoch and Elijah going into heaven compared to Jesus. But the significant thing is all of the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus, who is the culmination of the promises of the prophets.
Why is it that when we're told Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven, he says, I'm going to Jericho, but he asks Elisha to stay behind. Why does Elisha refuse? Why does he kind of follow Elijah all over the countryside, waiting to see how God is going to take him?
Well, this kind of reminds us of Ruth. Ruth says to Naomi, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. I'm quite confident that that was Elisha's attitude towards Elijah. He, though he was one of the prophets, he had not yet received that double portion of the Spirit that he later asked for. And so there were many other prophets. In fact, there was a whole school of prophets. We would call them like seminaries in Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, Ramah, and Gibeah. And they appear to have begun under Samson, and they continued throughout the Old Testament. And Elisha was one of those prophets, and even Elijah wasn't sure that God would put the mantle on Elisha. And so he told him, if you see how I leave, then that will be a sign to you that God has chosen you to be the one following me.
So he is not only out of love for his master, in this case, Elijah, but also because there's a promise been made to him about what will be if he will witness Elijah's passing out of this world. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, because Elijah says that if you see me in the way that I am leaving, then that means you will be the one that the Lord wants to continue this special prophecy, this office of the prophet. At which time Elisha also says, please let there be to me a double portion of your spirit on me. Now, Elijah says that's a hard thing because he's talking from his point of view. Elijah has no power to put a double portion on Elisha. Elijah is well aware that this would have to be the word of the Lord that would be doing that. And so that's why he said it's a hard thing. But then, of course, as they were walking and talking, and this is verse 11 of chapter 2 of 2 Kings, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, that is really quite significant because God often uses whirlwinds. For example, Job, there's four times that God appears to Job in a whirlwind in Job 27, chapter 37, chapter 38, and chapter 40. And he speaks to Job through a whirlwind. And so there are many artistic renderings of Elijah going up into the sky with the horses, the chariot, and the whirlwind. But Elisha was the one who saw that and therefore was confident that he would be the one that God would choose to be the leader of the prophets.
Everyone seems to know that Elijah's leaving, these 50 prophets that you had mentioned, and it's almost like Elijah's touring across the southern part of the country before he goes. It sounds as though, I guess what I'm asking about here is kind of the general office of prophet. Obviously, there are more than one prophet now. There's not only Elijah, there's Elisha, there's 50 other guys who seem to know, have some kind of word of the Lord on the matter too. How should we understand that?
The one thing we don't want to think is to be a prophet means only to tell about the future. I know I used to think that before I went to the sem. But then at the seminary, it was a professor, I can't remember which one, who says that a prophet doesn't foretell, he also forthtells. In other words, a prophet is speaking the word of God to the people. And so I would consider these schools of the prophets to be seminarians. And it is clear, as you've already mentioned, that they say to Elijah, do you not know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? They're speaking to Elisha. And he says, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. So the office of the prophet could talk about things that were going to happen in the future, as happened here, but their main task was to foretell. And that's why God is so angry when you have false prophets, because they're not telling what God wants them to say. They're telling people what their dreams are and what their own vision of reality is, rather than the vision of God. And we are perplexed with that in our day also.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, Elijah is taken to heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to talk about the theme of death and resurrection when we come back, but also the fact that when the cloak falls down upon Elisha, he tears his own clothes into pieces to take up Elijah's mantle. What that means after this. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Elijah is taken into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. Pastor Baker is host of a daily radio show called Law and Gospel, and you can find a link to that, Law and Gospel, right there. As you, if you go to our website to listen to Tom on this program, you can see a link to his program right there, Law and Gospel. Tom, one of the things I notice here is almost a brand new start for Elijah. The mantle falls as Elijah's going up. Elisha takes up the mantle, tears his own clothes into pieces, and then he uses the mantle to do a lot of very Moses-like things. In fact, all the kind of miracles that he does after that seem to recount kind of the same miracles that God did through Moses in the wilderness, making bad water good, things like that, parting the Jordan River into two so we could cross over. Is there an obvious connection there?
Yes. In fact, I would go to say, I would start with the first crossing of water, which was the Red Sea, that Moses had done. Well, he had put up the rod and God separated the Red Sea. But the next one was, even in this Sunday school lesson, Elijah and Elisha come to the Jordan, and they get ready to cross it. This is in verse 8 of chapter 2. And Elisha took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. Then this is what Elisha does. And he does that while there are the prophets there. He took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water of the Jordan again. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. And that's not the only times that the Jordan was crossed. We find it again in Joshua chapter 3. When the people are ready to enter into the promised land, they get to the Jordan. And this, it's at a time of the year when it says that the waters were coming from above, upstream, and rose up in a heap very, very far away at Adam. And how did this happen? The priests, verse 17, Joshua 3, the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now, when the other prophets saw what Elijah had done here, when he had struck the water and the water was parted on the one side, then, verse 15, now, when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And so, therefore, they were recognizing him as the chosen one from God to be over the schools of the prophets. In fact, Elijah continued, and I was kind of unaware of this until I read it in The Growing in Christ, that he continued for 60 more years as prophet in Israel, taking the place of Elijah.
What was the purpose of all those miracles that both Elijah and Elisha did?
In the Gospel of John, he often uses the word sign for the word miracle. In other words, a miracle can take place, but if you don't recognize the sign that it's pointing to, you miss it out. In fact, Jesus himself said that in regard to the feeding of the 5,000. He says, "You saw the feeding of the 5,000, but you missed the sign." Well, what's he talking about? They thought by feeding 5,000 people, he would become a bread king. And they were chasing after him. He said, "No, you missed the sign." Because this was to remind the people that just as God had given manna to the folks in the wilderness, so Jesus is giving food to the needy. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises of the Messiah. Every miracle that Jesus did, that the prophets did, were signs pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah, to Jesus himself. And so you can really misread a miracle. You hear a lot of pastors today who are talking about, "Boy, if you really believe in Jesus, then you will be healed of your sickness." And therefore, they think that they're going to be healed because they're such strong believers. And when they don't get healed, they think they're weak believers. No, God never gives that as a sign. The sign, when it occurs, the miracle, when it occurs, is always to point us to Jesus as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as the one who have us cross the Jordan River through the waters of baptism and be taken also into heaven, even at this time. And that's a point I would hope the Sunday school teachers will get across to the children, that right now, Jesus, or I should say, they are with Jesus at the right hand of God, because the church is described as the body. The body refers to the people. The head refers to Christ. And there is no body without the head. So where the head is, so also are the people. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Therefore, we don't have any need to pray to a saint or somebody like that to get to the Father, for we are at the right hand of the Father in Christ, and that's why our prayers are always associated with Jesus Christ, our interceder and Savior.
I'd like you to speak briefly, because we could hardly have a conversation about Elijah being taken up into heaven without mentioning a New Testament appearance of Elijah again with Christ in the Transfiguration. What would you have to say about that with a few minutes left?
Yes, there are two at the Transfiguration speaking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. And although the English isn't that clear, it says they were talking about his departure. The actual Greek word is Exodus. They're referring to his departure from earth through the crucifixion and the resurrection, which, of course, the disciples can't figure out. And the reason I like that passage quite a bit is Moses, throughout the New Testament, is always presented as the giver of the law. Elijah is always presented as the giver of the gospel. So we have both Moses and Elijah, law and gospel. And that's why it's so important that the proper understanding of law and gospel is provided, as you've written about in your recent booklet, in order that people will come to a proper faith in Jesus Christ. And keeping the distinction between law and gospel is extremely important, as the Mount of Transfiguration portrayed.
So with about 30 seconds, is in fact the, sometimes you could call it the translation of Elijah into heaven bodily, is that also a prefigurement of Christ's resurrection and his ascension, and then ours as well? About 30 seconds.
It would be, except for one thing, is Jesus died. He actually entered into heaven in the spirit on Good Friday. Today you will be with me in paradise. Elijah did not die because there was no need for him from God's point of view. Jesus had to die to take away our sins. But in the same way that Jesus died, we will die. Our spirit will go to heaven immediately at our death, and on Judgment Day, our bodies will be restored to the spirit, as happened on Easter Sunday.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Naaman and Elisha. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Paul McCain about the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism, and we'll continue our series on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Whether it is Moses or Elijah or Elisha, all these great prophets of God who were filled with his spirit and by his word performed miracles and, as Pastor Tom Baker said, foretold and forthtold the Christ that would come and redeem the entire world, all of them have the same message. They may have different lives, they may have done different miracles, they may have been very different men, but all of them are pointing us forward to Jesus Christ, our Savior, to his ultimate sacrifice for us in the world on the cross and his resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.